It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. Today's date is the 30th of March, and we have one more day in this particular month. May God bless us. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of prayer.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please thank you for this time to come together to be able to have worship. We pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know by anointing the words of our pastor and filling him with your spirit. For this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time for our opening song. It's about time for the coming Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ for thee. It's about
Father in heaven, as we discuss the gospel in Hebrews chapter 4, we want to begin by thanking you for your magnanimous love. We want to give you glory and honor and praise. We sometimes come to you and we focus on requests, but we want to bless you. We want to honor you. We want to thank you for being a great God. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to have this experience of righteousness by faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, God is good. It's time for us to read Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to begin by going to the last two or three verses of Hebrews 3. It says in verse 18, "And to whom were he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now this rest spoken of here, brothers and sisters, it is the relationship with God that we have because of righteousness by faith. So think of the rest as righteousness by faith, this condition that we're in when we're walking with God, like Enoch and Elijah, okay? Righteousness by faith, right doing by faith, being in a right relationship with God by faith. Starting with Hebrews chapter 4, because Hebrews 4 mentions the Sabbath, and a lot of people try to use Hebrews 4 to suggest that the Sabbath was done away with at the cross. Let's read through it and see what is being said. "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Okay, I'm going to repeat that one. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as unto them." Now that's powerful, because I was just dealing with a situation where a group of people want to focus on this wrong method of study. The wrong method of study is to limit the context of a verse to that period, okay? That's not how you study the Bible. The Bible is a book of books for everyone, and so you expand the context of a scripture to all of its possible applications. That's what you're supposed to do, and when you understand that, this verse brings it out. It says that the gospel was preached to those people back in Israel. The gospel. It says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." So that means when they had a lamb, and that means when there was a high priest back in the day, and that means when they had the law of God given at Sinai. All of that was a preaching of the gospel. The gospel, friends. And that's why when they limit certain things, okay, well, we're just going to limit the Sabbath to this Jewish dispensation. No, 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 no. The Sabbath came before there was a Jew, so you can't do that. That would show you you're supposed to expand the Sabbath to every person. In other words, if the Sabbath was made for man, anytime there's a man, meaning man and woman, the Sabbath applies, for the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath did not start in at Sinai, okay? So anyway, let's keep reading. "But for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, there are things that we have to do that they didn't have to do. There are things that maybe they had to do that we don't have to do. But the foundation of the gospel has never changed. The gospel is a promise of pardon, power, and a one day a change of personage, position, meaning we're forgiven, we're empowered, and one day this body's going to change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, okay? So we get to be in God's presence. We can say it that way. It's God's pardon, God's power, and eventually in God's presence. That's the gospel. We call it justification, sanctification, glorification. One of them has not happened yet. We have not, at least for all of us, we have not yet had our change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15:51. But we should have by now been pardoned, because we should have repented of our sins. We should have now already been empowered. You see, a lot of people reject the truth, and they reject the prophet, both post-biblical and biblical prophets, because the prophets point out things that they don't want to hear. Sometimes they want to wear things that the prophet said, no, we shouldn't wear, because it brings immorality to society, my brothers and sisters. It degrades society. And God has a plan to keep our minds elevated in society. So he tells us don't wear certain things, don't eat certain things, because it degrades the body, which degrades the mind, and doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And so we don't want to listen to things that affect our dress or our health or maybe our social interactions. And so we reject the prophet because of that. And we come to find all these reasons why we can reject the prophet. And we listen to scoffers and we read stuff on the internet, and we come to think we've developed some grand, new light about things, a new way of looking at things. And before you know it, we've explained away every truth of the Bible with a lie, okay? For unto us the gospel was preached as unto them, but the word preached did not profit, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They had to be saved by grace through faith, just like we did, brothers and sisters. Now, Christ hadn't come, so they had constant reminders of his future ministry. They had lambs to be killed. They had Passover. They had Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out like he was on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. So they kept that feast. The announcement, end-time announcement that Jesus is coming hadn't happened yet, so they kept the Feast of Trumpets. The Day of Atonement, when Christ would go into the most holy place and begin a work of judgment, hadn't happened yet, so they kept the Feast of the Day of Atonement, okay? Jesus hadn't come as he's in, and he still hasn't come yet, but in the future, so they kept the Feast of Ingathering. But the point is, once Jesus died, it was guaranteed that everything would go as planned. You see, if Satan could have tricked Christ into sinning and forced Christ into sinning, then all those future things, Day of Atonement, Second Coming, would have been obliterated, okay? Holy Spirit wouldn't have been poured out. So we don't have to keep those feasts now, because the Bible says in Colossians 2 they were nailed to the cross. But being nailed to the cross doesn't mean that those things in the future won't happen. It just means that the obligation to keep the feast was nailed to the cross. That's what that means, friend. And so let's read on. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That means when you believe in God, my friends, and believe what God says, that is the key to your relationship. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see, God put everything in place when he made the world. He made everything perfect, my brothers and sisters. We're just getting back to that perfection by belief. Adam had it by creation. We have to have it by redemption, but we have to believe. But the works were done. God actually knows how to make a perfect human being, friends. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and this is where people go wrong, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. So they somehow twist this into making the Sabbath just mean entering into a relationship with God. That's not what this is saying. God is talking about entering into a faith relationship with God, and he uses the Sabbath as an example because God, not humans, it doesn't even have anything to do with humans, God rested on the seventh day. This is talking about God. It's just a symbol about how that God spoke of a specific day and he rested. Because here's the point. We're going to read in this chapter that we've been wasting time. My friends, you don't need to go past March 30th without a full surrender to God. More than once, the Bible said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you should fully surrender to God. You see? Today you can enter into that rest. And so it uses God as an example where it says, okay, even God says, today I'm going to not rest. It's the Sabbath. So God says, today. He did it right away. After he made the earth in 6 days, it's saying God then made a commitment on a day to rest. So God is telling you through this method that you should choose today as your day to give your heart to God. Tomorrow is not promised, my brothers and sisters. You know, there is a, I don't even know if it's in the a particular hymnal that I have on my phone, but no, it's not. But there's a beautiful hymn. It's called Almost Persuaded, Christ to Believe, Almost Persuaded, Christ to Receive. Seems now, some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are standing near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. I think the last verse says, almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, the bitter wail. Almost, but lost. My brothers and sisters, we need to give our hearts to God today. Let's follow God today. There's nothing out there, my friend. Some of us know what I'm talking about. Been out there, done things we ought not do. All of us have done that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, and let me tell you something. Even if you've been there, done that, that can be used to God's glory. You know, God is not God because he makes good things better. God is God because he makes our worst mistakes and turns them into blessings. Did you know that? Did you know that because of Adam's sin, we will be closer to God than if Adam had not sinned? So Adam's mess up is our bless up, so to speak, if there was such a word. Okay? That's true, because if Adam had not sinned, Christ would not have become one of us. Now that Christ is one of us, we get a higher position because one of us is on the throne of the universe. So even sin, God turns into a blessing. But oh, the pain that sin causes. It's not worth it, my friend. So, my friend, God is so wonderful. So don't think, oh, let me sin so I can have a car relationship. No, no, no. You get yourself in a drowning situation and you might not come out. So God is merciful, my friends, but we have to understand that I said all that to say that those of us who have gone into sin in whatever level, my friends, God is merciful, and we can actually come out wiser. We know the various tricks of the devil more so than people who've not fallen prey to those tricks, and we can warn others. We can help young people. We can guide the church in a better way because we've been through and we see how the devil works in that sense. So God is merciful, my friend. Let's move forward. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, that's all he said about the Sabbath. He said he spake at a certain place on the Sabbath, on this wise, God did rest on the Sabbath day from all his works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. All the Sabbath was in this chapter is simply to say that God said, I'm going to do it today, like he wants you to give your heart to God today. That's the emphasis of the verse. Verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore, verse 6, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So if you don't believe that what God says applies to you, you're not going to enter into the rest. You're going to miss out. So, friends, you don't want to miss out on the blessing, but we have to believe what God says. The things that we like about what God says, but the things that we might not like about what God says. If God said it, we have to believe it and apply it to our lives, trusting him that he knows what is best. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So again, that was the emphasis of the Sabbath in this chapter. It was simply to say, God did his works, and then God said, I'm going to rest on the Sabbath. That day, he did it on a day. God is using that example to say, you should do it today. Forget your works without faith, and stop trying to be good with your own work. Rest in Jesus, and he will do the work in you. That is not a change of the Sabbath, my friend. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, so after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? Meaning, he spoke through David to say, today, harden not your heart. But the bottom line is, if they had already received fully the gospel, then he would not have had to call for them to say, give your heart to me today, much later, many years later. But he that entereth into his rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So, my friend, God ceased from his own works, and then he kept the Sabbath. We would cease from our own works and rest in him. That doesn't do away with the Sabbath. That means that we're actually keeping it because our own works are faulty. But when Christ is living in us, it's his work. The Bible says, and this song is so beautiful, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ liveth in me. So when you are entering into his rest, it's not, you don't live by your own works, you live by the works of Christ. By faith in Christ, he lives in us, okay? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why the Bible can tell us Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the hope of salvation, is Christ in us, living in us. We're not saved by our own works. We're saved by Christ in us, but he then does the work. That is not an excuse for disobedience, because if Christ was in you, he would be keeping the Sabbath in you. If Christ was in you, he would keep you from stealing as he lives in you. If Christ is in you, he would keep you from killing as Christ lives in you. It doesn't do away with the commandments, my friend. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, that any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And when they had unbelief, they kept sinning. You see, unbelief leads to sin. For the word of God is quick and powerful. So this is showing you can believe, and you've got something powerful to believe in. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you apply the word of God to your life, it will help you purify your own motives. You think your heart is right, you apply the word to your own heart, and it will reveal things to you. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So our high priest has gone through everything we've gone through. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So my brothers and sisters, Christ is our example. He's our high priest. He did it. He lived this life as a human without sin, depending on his Father. He did not use his divine nature to overcome Satan, my friends. He depended on his Father. He depended on the Holy Spirit. He depended on the help of the angels. Everything that we have available to us is what Christ used, so that there would be no excuse, okay? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's no excuse for sin, because we have grace to help in time of need. If you're already saved, why do you need grace to help in time of need? You don't need that, because you can go live and do whatever you want to do and live for the devil, and because you're saved, remember? No, that's not how the Bible teaches it, friends. The Bible teaches that salvation is deliverance from sin. That's what salvation is. So when people say, I'm saved, we are saved by grace through faith. We are delivered from sin by grace through faith. But it is not a one act that perpetuates you directly into heaven. You have to choose to follow God. You have to, as we read in the previous chapter, we have to hold fast our profession unto the end. Okay, we can let it go, meaning, okay? That's powerful. Notice what it says. This is Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we be hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And it even mentions it again in that chapter. But anyway, God is merciful. Let's see if I can find that other verse. Yes, but Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of our hope unto the end. That was yesterday's reading. And so, again, once saved, always saved is not in the Bible, my friends. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And people are teaching that, and they're using it to say we don't have to obey because we're saved. Why would I need to obey? I'm already saved, you see. So it's very dangerous. It cheapens God. Like he doesn't have the power to give you victory, so he's just going to just save you in your sin. No, the Bible doesn't say he saves us in our sin. The Bible says he saves us from our sin. Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin, not in their sin. God is merciful, my brothers and sisters. This has been a great reading. Hebrews 4:12, Hebrews 4:15, highlighted scriptures that you might want to memorize. The word of God, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And also we have a high priest not touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let's follow Jesus today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of the gospel in Hebrews chapter 4. Be with us today as we live for you. We thank you for your kindness and mercy. Bless us now in our intermission as we come back and talk about how to reverse cavities and tooth decay. Very important topic. We ask that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time for our intermission with the torso song. We'll be back in a little while, and we'll be sharing with you how to reverse cavities and tooth decay. Okay, not going to go there. Okay, I was going to try to put something in the comments, but that's not going to go. We'll show you how to get it. All right, torso song is our is next on our agenda.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to torso of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. butter, meat, eggs and cheese. Line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. You're a up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And
Amen. Praise God. Okay, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to go right into our health segment. We're going to be talking about how to reverse cavities. Now, some of us have taken very, very good care of our teeth over the years, and some of us have not. I'm one of those who have not, but I sure am jumping on it now. Trying to save my teeth, you know. We want God to bless. So all of us have some issue that we've neglected or didn't always do what we could have, should have, would have, right? But I'm here to tell you that God has things that God has blessings in store, and he can heal in ways that we didn't realize were possible. So most people don't even realize it's possible to reverse a cavity. The main thing that you want to use to reverse a cavity is an extract. It's a powdered extract of horsetail. Now, horsetail is the same as shave grass, and you want to get it in an extract form. Okay, it's still a powder, but don't get that confused because we have liquid extracts at Torso. We don't sell what I'm telling you about. You have to go online, maybe Amazon, but look for horsetail or shave grass powder extract, okay? And you just put it on your teeth maybe a couple times a day, two or three times a day. Now, what I do is I brush my teeth with, this might sound crazy, I actually brush my teeth with castor oil. I actually squirt castor oil in my mouth, and I brush my teeth. Why? Because castor oil is used for oil pulling. Now, when you're doing oil pulling, you just let it swish around for 2 or 3 minutes with castor oil. With coconut oil, you have to do it 10 minutes. That's why I like castor oil, because they say that you can get the same effect with just 2 or 3 minutes. So it doesn't take as long, you know, swishing around in your mouth. You should spit it out, not into a sink or toilet, because all that thick oil could tend to help clog up the pipe. You want to spit it out in the trash or something that can be disposed in a different way. But I brush my teeth with it. I'm not really oil pulling with it, but I just know that it's still going to be there to pull a little bit maybe after the fact. And so you can spit it out into something else, or in that case, swallow it if you're not truly doing oil pulling. But I brush my teeth with castor oil, and after a little while, I actually take that horsetail, because I have a cavity that actually came out. The actual filling came out, and I started noticing a little pain. And once I started using the horsetail extract, that pain is going away. But supposedly horsetail extract, shave grass extract, will actually remineralize the tooth and actually take the place of that cavity, just kind of rebuild good tooth, okay? So highly recommended as part of your dental regimen. And so you can use a cotton. That's another option. Like a little cotton, just put the powder on the cotton and just kind of put it near the tooth or in the tooth. After a while, you know, it's going to start, saliva is going to start coming. Sometimes I do that, and sometimes I'll just take a portion of the powder, just drop it right in the area where I have some challenging teeth. And then, of course, a lot of saliva is going to, you know, build up just naturally in your mouth. But some of that will get where it needs to go. So we highly recommend that. Another thing that we recommend, and there's a link, we do sell diatomaceous earth, okay? Diatomaceous earth is basically purified earth that comes from high areas of fossilization or areas of high fossilization, okay? And diatomaceous earth is a powerful anti-parasitic, anti-candida type of natural remedy, but it also contains high levels of silica, which is a component of bone. And so you want to take this because you're trying to build new bone teeth and that type of thing. So you definitely want to have diatomaceous earth. The only thing we want to tell you about diatomaceous earth from a safety point of view, it's a very fine powder. So you don't want to open up the bag and take a sniff, okay? It can get up in there. And because it has, like microscopically, it's like razor blades. That's how it kills the candida and parasites. A lot of those things have exoskeletons, like a turtle has a skeleton on the outside, and diatomaceous earth can kind of cut through that and gather that those toxins and then escort them out of the body. So you don't want that to go to your delicate tissue of your lungs. So don't just sniff it. Ready? All right. So you open up the bag, take a teaspoon and a little water maybe once a day, and then do that eventually twice a day after about 3 or 4 days to a week. And you can build up slowly to where you're taking 2 tablespoons of diatomaceous earth a day. If that will not hurt you once you build up to it, unless you're sensitive to it. Anybody can be sensitive to something. Diatomaceous earth is very inexpensive, and it's a very, very powerful detoxifier. And it also, as I said before, helps to build your strong, solid dental structures. You need more for your bone and teeth, the silica that is a component of those, diatomaceous earth. So between the castor oil, these are just some ideas. You could also brush your teeth with charcoal just to help pull toxins. I use castor at this present time, and I use the shave grass method, and I believe that castor oil that lingers still helps to pull a little bit of some of the toxins, some of the bacteria that gets under the gum. That's what oil pulling does, and oil pulling by itself is just good. Squirting some castor oil in your mouth and then just, you know, swishing it around in your mouth for about 2 or 3 minutes, spitting it out in a non-plumbing setting or place, just in the trash can or into some paper towels you can throw into the trash can, or if you're outside, just spit it out there. And the bottom line, friends, is that actually helps pull the bacteria that tends to cause tooth decay out of from under the gum. Very, very powerful. But don't forget, the main component of this reversing of cavities is horsetail shave grass powdered extract. We do not sell that. You get that off the internet. I believe Amazon carries it. Horsetail shave grass powdered extract. So it's a powder, but it's a powder in a concentrated form, and it does help you building bone, reversing cavities. And I can tell you that where I was having pain, I no longer have pain. And so it's probably other properties that it has. I'm not so sure if it has the antiseptic properties. But the bottom line is you can actually reverse the cavity. All right? God bless you. It's time now to go to the phone line. We start with roll call. We have South Carolina represented on Facebook. On the call, we have Ohio. We actually have Maryland. We have Maryland again. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. Again, thank God for the new Delaware caller. You are more than welcome to be a part of our family. God bless you. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa. And my dear sister, I did call you at the appointed time. So I think you might not have been available, but I just wanted to let you know you got a call. But I don't know if I may be. You mentioned in your voicemail about if you don't recognize the number, it may not ring. So you might want to, my number is a 706 number. So maybe we can talk today. I just wanted to chat with you briefly before we answer your request about, you know, a wellness retreat. All right, that being said, we've got Oklahoma on the line, and we have Georgia, and that pretty much wraps up our roll call. Is there anyone that has any comment or question? Please press *6. If you're on Facebook, just type any comment or question you have. And we have about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Want to remind you, the Biblical Booster is out and available for sale. Go to biblicalbooster.org. Eventually, we'll put it on the Torso website as well. But the Biblical Booster website has more information about the Biblical Booster. The Biblical Booster is a book, but it's also a campaign to boost the immunity of our global community, okay? And so the book explains how that can happen, how you can build up your immune system, and how important it is to build up our immune system, and how other methods are not working to do just that. So you definitely want to get your copy, 322 pages, over 300 citations, over 180 color pictures, over 150 QR codes, and God is good. So, as a matter of fact, that reminds me, I was supposed to call one of my dear sisters in Delaware to make sure, or at least check to see if she got her book, and I need to know, make sure I did that. I'll be following up with you this morning, dear sister, on that point, okay? God bless you. There is no one in the queue. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up at this time. May God bless you, and I'll turn it over to my wife.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this worship time, and we thank you for giving us your word, Lord. May we allow your spirit to continue to teach us the things we need to know, giving us deeper understanding of the interpretation so we can share it, Lord. We can be able to gain more wisdom and be able to grow in knowledge and understanding. We pray that you would bless every heart in a special way, that you would be with each one on this line. And we ask for special healings to be granted spiritually, mentally, physically. And Lord, we do pray for those that are in financial need. We ask that you will do all you can to make sure that every need is taken care of as you have promised to do so when we seek you first and foremost. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to be faithful to you, and may each of us spend private, personal, intimate time with you each day as we put our private petitions before you, knowing that you will work everything out in accordance with your perfect will. These things we thank you for, and we pray them all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.